to four.
Do you have a gardening problem? We can help you with that. A program dedicated to help you grow a better garden, maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make that grass look a little bit greener, as well as preserving what you grow. We're here to help you with your gardening problem. You're tuned in to Garden Talk Radio.
You are listening to the most informational-packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging projects, visit powerplanter.com. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us to talk gardening for the next hour, whether you're listening to us through one of the radio stations that are broadcasting our show here in 2020, one of the 16 stations, or through our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, under the Season 4 tab at the top of the page. Whether you're on a radio app or anywhere else, in-studio video replay or podcast replay, we thank you for taking time out of your day to be part of our show. There's a couple of ways in which you can contact us. One is by sending us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call anytime, toll-free nationwide, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
We've got a big show lined up for you today. We're going to be in segment one talking about glyphosate, the active ingredient in weed killers, and what it is, what it does, why people do not like it. In segment two, little known facts about landfills. And our guest this week, new author, and he is the owner of Ivy Organics, Charles Malky, will be with us and will answer as many of your questions as possible. So Holly, let's get into the program here. And talk about glyphosate. Now, glyphosate is not a name brand. It is the active ingredient in many weed killers that are sold throughout the United States and the world. There's big brand names. We're not going to name the company's names because there's no need to do such. But glyphosate, what is glyphosate? What's the basis of it yet?
So glyphosate is a... It's an herbicide, so it's a broad-spectrum systemic herbicide. It's a crop desiccant. So what it does is it's made of – it's known also more technically as an organophosphorus compound. So it has many things in it, but it works by – it acts by inhibiting the plant enzymes, basically. So, and we're going to kind of get into that a little bit more.
Now, we're just going over this to inform people because everybody hears the term glyphosate and it's an evil word. We have people that are all over the country that listen to us. We're in big farm areas in the South Dakota, North Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma area. And there's probably people in tractors right now listening to us spraying glyphosate on their fields. It's like many things in life. If used correctly, it's a phenomenal tool. When used incorrectly, it can do tremendous damage.
So if you're not familiar, glyphosate does kill off
anything it touches.
Pretty much anything it touches. What it does is it is a biochemical, so it prevents these plants from creating this enzyme.
It goes when it's sprayed on the plant, it goes right to the roots, and that's how it is killed. Now, we do not recommend using glyphosate in your edible garden. We would recommend Green Gobbler. It's a certified organic OMRI listed horticultural grade vinegar. But there is applications for glyphosate here. What is it mainly used for? And that's, you know, a lot of it's used commercially, agriculturally, and privately. There's a lot of different platforms in which it's used in and around and for.
Right. So it is used for altogether. to help keep weeds from competing with crops for those crops so they don't have to compete for water, sunlight, and nutrients.
Now,
so whether this be in your backyard or on a large agricultural scale, this is what it does.
Genetically modified crops are altered in a way in a laboratory in which they can sustain being sprayed with chemicals such as glyphosate. It kills everything in the field except for that crop in which the farmer is attempting to grow and harvest and sell or feed to cattle. So that's what the purpose of genetically modification of crops is all about, in which they can utilize chemicals such as this to control everything. However, now in the last, two decades, because the glyphosate, the weeds have adapted to it, they've had to increase the toxicity of chemicals such as glyphosate to combat what is now called super weeds.
Right. So the super weeds are more aggressive weeds. The weeds have adjusted to being killed off by glyphosate through time, so now they are a more aggressive weed.
So how does it work? What's the purpose here? How does the science of the spraying on the leaves, and how does that process?
So basically, they block this enzyme, which is also known as a protein.
So we're getting into the scientific stuff here. They're putting a chemical to the plant, and that particular chemical knows how to prevent the plant from releasing certain things and blocking other things.
Yep. So it stops this enzyme pathway. It's known as the shikimic acid pathway. And it is that pathway, that enzyme, that protein is necessary for plants to grow, basically, and also some microorganisms. A majority of plants use this enzyme, so almost all plants will succumb to glyphosate, except for probably like thistles.
thistles will. Yeah. On the farm, we would spray 2,4-D on the thistles because that had a different compound and properties in which it killed the thistles. But it didn't kill the grasses in the pasture, so you didn't have to be as selective of 2,4-D is active in many lawn weed and feeds. So we need to be cautious about that as well. So why do people often disagreement with the use of chemicals that contain glyphosate?
Well, it's believed to... A lot of people think it's less toxic to human than other herbicides. However,
it's less toxic?
Yeah.
Okay.
They feel that it disrupts your endocrine activity in people and also other animals, including frogs and fish.
Aquatic life.
So if you don't know, your endocrine system is your metabolic system, and that endocrine system releases hormones, all sorts of hormones, whether it be anything from insulin to your hormones, your genetics, things like that. So if you have an endocrinological disorder, it means that your hormones are off balance. Like a thyroid mm-hmm. helps control your hormones, many different things.
And many people believe that the glyphosate greatly alters that makeup or that damages the process.
Yep. So, and it stems to a lot of things. It can be anything, a lot of medical things. We're not doctors or anything.
Nope.
You can do your own research.
You thought we're going to talk about tomatoes, and now we're diving into big words that I don't even know how to pronounce, and Holly's reading them off like they're, you know, ingredients to bake a cake here.
Yeah, but they are part of your body, right? They're your whole body, even like your sex hormones, your hormones that control your growth, your reproductive system, all of that. That's what glyphosate can have issue or cause issue with. Another issue it can cause is scientists have noted an increase in non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a type of cancer, if you don't know. And some people feel that they're exposed to that chemical source, and it's definitely carcinogenic to humans, which means that essentially it's toxic to humans.
And also there is bees that has that term, and bees have been brought up that it can kill the hives off as well.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And also now whenever you know, people, another claim or another thing that people have an issue with is the genetically modified crops. It's not that the crops are genetically modified. It is they are modified in order to absorb this toxicity, allow the plant to continue to grow, and then the plant has taken this glyphosate and actually made it part of its being. Then you're eating the corn or you're eating the soy or whatever the case is that's genetically modified. That's where some of the arguments and disagreements come from when it comes to anti-GMO and anti-glyphosate spray, you know, chemical products in which one may spray on their property and or their farm. Now, if you do choose to use a product that contains glyphosate, there are some things in which you – there's instructions in the back for a reason. You only should apply it during certain particular times of the day or the year. Otherwise, it can have even more detrimental effects because though it's maybe bad and some people believe it's bad, if you do not follow directions, it can be even more – it can even be worse. And you can speak to some of the ways in which you should apply it.
So first of all, you want to apply on a non-windy day, a non-breezy day because it will – it will drift. So when you apply it, you want to make sure it's not breezy or windy, what have you, out. So there's that's one. Second of all, if it's above about 70 degrees and 60% humidity, then you also don't want to apply it because at that point it's going to cling to the water molecules in the air and drift.
And I've told this story on the program before. I grew up on a big agricultural farm in southern Illinois, and during the early spring, you would plant the corn, you plant the beans, and you'd have the sprayers come in, and as long as it wasn't over such amount of wind blowing, it didn't matter how hot it was or how humidity it was, they sprayed, and you could smell that drift of that chemical all through the farm because they only have so much time to get across all the acreages across the counties that they work in. So there's, you know, keep that in mind.
You also want to just make sure that you cover your skin when you're applying glyphosate. So wear like long pants, long sleeves, things like that, so that you're not getting that onto your skin as a possibility.
And sure, why not? Let's wash our hands with soap and water when we're done too. We're used to that already this year. What's
just
the difference?
Just this year.
Yeah, just this, yeah.
Okay, so thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to our show. This is our 21st show of 2020. Did you miss last week's show? We talked about saving seeds to save money. Also, the right way to store your produce, And our author, our guest was author Aaliyah Milam. You can listen to that show by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener podcast, or we will make it even easier to find them. Send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com and in the subject line put show 20 and we will send you the link directly. We will be right back. Do not go anywhere. We'll be talking about little-known facts about landfills. You are listening to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, a program to help you grow a better garden, maintain your landscape, help your trees grow better, make that grass look greener, and preserving what you grow for indoor and out.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Do your trees look sad? When we here at the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardens have a tree or shrub issue, Dr. Jim's is the product we reach for as it is the product that works. It really provides results. Their small batch, extra potent blend of readily available nutrients is exactly what your trees, plants, and bushes need to regain their health and stay bug free. It's super easy to use. It feeds the microbes and adds new life to your soil so you can grow stronger plants. Chemical-free, environmentally responsible fertilizer that works. It will put a smile on your face and your plants. To find out more about Tree Secret and other products, visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Do not go anywhere. There is more of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show to come, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit PowerPlanter.com.
For all your indoor growing needs, equipment, and supplies, it's WeGrowIndoors.com. Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. Responsible watering, accurate, fast, and efficient. Earth conscious. Visit waterhoop.com.
Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center offers an awesome selection of high-quality garden and landscape products. We have just the plants you're looking for. Annuals, perennials, veggies, herbs, and more. Plus, you can always count on us to answer all of your questions and offer expert advice. Blue Mel's also carries the largest selection of bulk landscape materials in the area. Enjoy a beverage from our coffee shop while your kids run around in our huge playground. Join our growing list of highly satisfied customers. Visit the garden center that offers everything you're looking for. Visit Blue Mel's today.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following. Phylum Bioproducts, Dr. Jim's, Nisala Kabucha, MI Greenhouse LLC, Green Gobbler, Waterhoop, Seed Savers Exchange. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit PowerPlanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Thank you for coming and tuning in this week. So have you ever put anything in the trash? Has a garbage truck ever drove by your place and put things in the back and it disappeared and you never saw it again? It went to a landfill more than less, unless it was dumped in a ditch somewhere. And that has happened. So landfills are filling up. We are in an age and a society and a time where reduce, reuse, recycle has been driven into our heads. And anybody that's thrifty or, you know, aware of items, many people will save things and fill rooms and attics and garages up with items that don't throw that away because I may need that in 8 years. But many things go to a little landfill. And well, there's things that I haven't used that I saved 3 years ago that I'm using.
I know.
So there is, you know, many people kind of have the understanding trucks go to an open field, they dump stuff and they put soil on top of it and methane happens. So they vent that and they burn that off, at least in the local landfills that are around our region here in southeast Wisconsin. But there are some little known facts that many people are not familiar with when it comes to landfills.
Well, for one is that there are fewer landfills today. However, so back in the 1980s, the United States was home to more than 7,600 dumps, but that number has been slashed by 75%.
Dumps? And then did they change the landfill because it's a classier word?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And that changed to about 1900. But
so it decreased.
But
okay.
So like this is like when they tell you the good statistics and that's where they leave it at. Uh-huh. You know, like vote for Joe Schmo because he wants to lower taxes, but then he wants to, I don't know, kick donkeys or something, whatever. Yeah. So anyway, so but it doesn't mean we were producing less waste because the average landfill grew about four times in size. So we have less of them, but they're bigger.
So yeah. We went from 7,600 to 1,900, but they got bigger even though there's fewer of them.
Right. So, and it doesn't mean that we're producing less waste either.
No, more people, more product. We're in a throwaway society. Hey, it doesn't work. Throw it away when probably, you know, a crafty or a handy person could just rewire XYZ product.
But now we've come to this throwaway society.
Right.
Right, where it's like, oh, that's broken. Oh, this shirt's torn.
Oh, whatever. The cell phone's 3 days old. Let's throw it out and get a new one.
Right. So with that being said, trash production has tripled since 1960. And, I mean, that does kind of make sense.
So is the population. Flows with population. Yeah.
So this waste doesn't decompose quickly, if at all. Landfill excavators are often finding stuff that's like 40 years old and like newspaper, orange juice cartons, whatever, where you can still see.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. We encourage people to compost. And the key to composting is you aerate the product or the soil, the kitchen scraps, the lawn clippings. You aerate them and microbial life breaks them down. But if you was to take those items and let's throw some other stuff in there, a glass bottle or whatever the case is, well, let's just take the grass clippings and the kitchen scraps. If you just slam them on top of one another and bury them, the breakdown process is extremely slow. And that's on items that are of nature that will break down eventually. Milk cartons got waxy covers on, you know, all this stuff. If you don't add oxygen to the mix, nothing's going to break down.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, when you see stuff that's like, this will break down. This is compostable, whether it be like, you know, a chip bag or your coffee cup or whatever.
That means old clothing.
That means you literally have to put it in compost. Like, you can't just toss a landfill and it's going to break down. It's not going to make a difference. It's just going to add to the pile. But anyway, so people think that we have room to grow, but not really. They expect that in 50 years, 9 out of 10 of America's largest landfills will be full. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Well, the landfills, they create gas too. They create a methane. That's why you see on landfills, they have pipes in order to keep it from exploding.
Yeah, that's correct. And it does the methane gas, which is...
And many landfills aren't saving that. They're just burning it off to get rid of it.
Right. And we've seen this driving our local dump.
Classy it up. It's a Garden Talk radio show. Oh, the landfill.
The landfill.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this topic idea came from. So, yeah. So they can find new life. I know there's, like, here in the Milwaukee area, there is a ski hill that used to be a landfill that they converted into a ski hill. So that is something that can occur where they take that landfill.
If properly planned ahead.
Yep. And then they can do that. But there's even like golf courses, resorts, like you might not even know. You might go mm-hmm. to a resort, you might be sitting on a pile of trash, mm-hmm. an old dump.
And if they can utilize that type of area and create something other than just a hill, then we need to do such.
Right. And so now methane gas is a greenhouse gas. And that's something to keep in mind. And so one thing you want to keep in mind when it comes to what you're throwing in the landfill is you shouldn't toss food if you can prevent it. So that what happens is that food is a significant source of methane gas. And so it has 25 – methane gas is a greenhouse gas. So it has 21 times the global warming potential of CO2.
So it's more – it's worse, is what you're saying.
Correct.
And I don't have we don't have the statistics, but there is a high percentage of the items in a landfill are food.
Right, and that's the thing is that you. So this is another reason why you want to prevent having food waste, putting in your trash, having it go to landfill. Not only because it's a waste of resources when there's people who are going without food, but also because it's causing this increase in this methane gas.
Now, we are not perfect. We've thrown we've thrown food scraps in the trash and it's gone to the landfill. So we're not high and mighty above you. We're just introducing information so we all can be more educated at the end of the program.
Right. And it's just something to also keep in mind. You know, if you purchase, you know, we all throw food away. It happens. You have something spoil, you intend to use the bag of lettuce, you shove it in the back of the the fridge, whatever happens, and it's going to happen. However, if there's a way you can compost, then you're going to help offset that methane gas.
And you think, well, it's just me. If I compost, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But if you compost and 10,000 other people compost, then that amount of food scraps that once was going to go to the landfill, there's multiple garbage trucks that do not have to, that are empty because of that.
Right. And that's another thing is that, think about your organic waste. Think about instead, I know a lot of people are like reduce, reuse, recycle, whatever. Recycling, yes, recycling is good. However, if you can, instead of buying the plastic water bottles, recycling those, thinking, okay, I'm doing good for the earth, recycling these plastic water bottles, buy a reusable water bottle, buy a filter for your faucet. Many of us are home more now. You can use that filter. You can make some ice, whatever you want to do, put it in your own reusable bottle so you have nice.
Now I'll go to the defense of those who are listening in farm country. Many people, and then this is just me. I don't know if all of you are the same way. The only thing we ever recycled was metal and aluminum. If it could burn, it got burnt and it disappeared. You can make a lot of things. Grandpa always said you can make a lot of things disappear with a swipe of a match. So, you know, there's a lot of, when you look at the real rural areas and we're in those areas, the proximity to a recycling facility to take a couple of empty water bottles or water jugs, plastic, to get recycled, it doesn't financially or time allows, it doesn't make sense. So you throw them on the burn pile, you throw them in the burn barrel, and they disappear. That's just how it is.
Right.
The reality of life in rural area compared to the life in, city area.
Right. So that's definitely, it depends on your perspective, where you live, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But still, on the farm, you reused a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's not a farm in this country that doesn't have a shelf, a barn, a building that doesn't have stuff jammed to the ceiling of items that probably never will get used that was, saved from 1972. But there's a chance. There's a chance it may be getting used somewhere.
You may have burnt some trash, but you have a pile of whatever.
Yeah, we had a whole little shed.
Of tires. Or whatever, some nails.
The hay wagon got a tire blew out. We go in the tire shed and we dig around until we found a tire that was compatible with what we were needing. And there you go. So with that being said, the weather is just flat out hot now in all parts of the country. And it doesn't need to warm up. It needs to cool down. But nevertheless, your garden is getting attacked by beetles, weevils, borers, and the Japanese beetles have all but left their calling card on your property because they're devouring everything in sight right now.
And what better way to prevent these pests from destroying your garden than by controlling them while they are larvae? Grub Gone is an easy-to-apply granular product that can spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. Developed by Phylum Bioproducts from our naturally occurring bacteria, Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only scarab pests, and it is safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
So you've got the Japanese beetles flying around in your yard, in your garden. Beetle Gone is the only organic water dispersible powder that can be sprayed directly on your edible plants. Find out more and where to purchase and how to use at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylum bioproducts.com. You will not be disappointed. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, Charles Malky, new author, will be with us. You're listening to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
You can bet the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener's phone lines are always jammed during the show. So Joey and Holly keep their phone lines open 24/7 to help you. Call anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-7469. Or just remember 1-800-927-SHOW. S-H-O-W. Leave a message and they will call you back.
Planting conditions are always favorable with the Power Planter Earth Auger. No matter what the job is, Power Planter has the right size for you. Simply attach to a drill and let the Power Planter do the work for you, creating holes fast and efficiently with ease. Find the size that fits your project at powerplanter.com. The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants. To multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raise beds, RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code TWVG at checkout and get 10% off your entire order.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Do not go anywhere. There is more of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show to come, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com.
TrimBin turns any chair into a workstation. Comfortably sort your herbs, dried flowers, cannabis, and more. Easily collect pollen with a static brush and mirror finish collection tray. High walls keep your work contained. To get yours, visit harvest-more.com. Made in California.
Tired of breaking your back while pulling weeds? Worrying about spraying chemicals around plants you want to keep? Chapin has the solution with the Weed Devil. The Chapin Weed Devil is a compact, lightweight, long-handled weed-killing machine. Powered with a rechargeable battery, you can start spraying with the touch of a button. Just choose your favorite herbicide, fill the tank, and spot spray as needed. To order the Chapin Weed Devil, visit www.chapinmfg.com.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Neptune Harvest, Happy Leaf LED, Dripworks, We Grow Indoors, Deer Defeat, Harvest More, Blue Ribbon Organics, Blue Mills Landscape and Garden Center, Chip Drop. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Blue Mills Landscape and Garden Center selected by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as the top landscaper in 2020. That means that they do the landscaping that you want them to do on your property. They will follow your guidelines. They'll follow your plan. They'll suggest some things along the way, but they want you to be happy. When they walk away from a project, they want you to be happy with the results in which they have given to you for your property and your backyard, whatever the case is. They can also provide you bulk material. They have that available, 40 items, most selection anywhere in the area, as well as plants and a knowledgeable staff. Blue Mills Landscape and Garden Center at 4930 West Loomis Road, just off of Layton in Greenfield. You can give them a call at 414-282-4220 and check them out at bluemills.com.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for the week.
Charles Melke is a biologist, attorney, all-American swimmer, inventor, entrepreneur, and author. He recently published a book called Saving the World with the Home Garden. He's also the founder of Ivy Organic with a very popular YouTube channel. Welcome to the program, Charles.
Thank you so much, Joey and Holly, and the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show for having me. Thank
well, you're very welcome. Now, total disclaimer to all of our listeners. Yes, he is owner of part of the ivyorganics.com, and they have been a sponsor of our program since day one. So I want to make that perfectly clear for full disclosure. So before we get into your new authorisms, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is the Ivy Organics? Tell us about the company and a little bit about the products in which you have available.
So Ivy Organics was founded on the gardening principle known as whitewashing. If there was an encyclopedia with 1,000 pages lesson on gardening, whitewashing is typically just a paragraph. And in all my education over the last 5 to 10 years, visiting garden centers, educating at garden clubs, and so forth, whitewashing is one of the least understood and one of the most powerful, most valuable things to integrate in making sure that you maximize the health and the longevity of your plants and trees. So, but whitewashing just generally is a gardening term just used in construction, which means to lighten, as you would lighten bricks and lighten your wood floors. It's a concept known as whitewashing your trees and your plants to basically lighten them, to basically get them and curb the weather extremes Instead of using a latex or tar-based products, Ivory Organics offers an organic and certified organic formula for protecting tree trunks, lower branches from the elements, ideal for organic gardeners and the, you know, certified organic orchards across the country and around the world now.
That's very interesting. Thank you. So we often advise people to use fertilizer properly for their garden, and that's the important part, is the properly part. What is the vital importance of properly fertilizing and why you don't want to over-fertilize?
So it's a couple parts to answering that question. The first one in regards to making sure you're using the right fertilizer and not, you know, being wasteful with fertilizer is to understand what plants need. And 90 to 95 to 99% of education offered focuses just on NPK, which stands for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And our education for the last several years has been that that's only half the story. If you understand macronutrients that plants and trees, all plants and trees need, it's actually six. It's your NPK plus magnesium, sulfur, and calcium. Those are the six macronutrients plants need. And Ivory Organics All-Purpose Fertilizers offers all of them. In regards to waste, it's also good to understand, especially for your more established trees, to maybe focus more so on an ingredient that's a little bit higher in phosphorus to encourage more flower and fruiting, but to always make sure that you've got a well-balanced all of the six macronutrients and a lot of the micronutrients that plants need to make sure you're offering your plants all of the vital nutrition and health. The second part of that question is in regards to waste, is making sure you're feeding your plants during the growing season, the growing season being defined as spring, summer, and early fall. But be sure not to be wasting fertilizer in winter when in most parts of the country it's raining a lot. I know in South Florida, where I've lived for almost a decade, it rains mostly in the summer. But regardless, it's actually winter when the light hours are shorter. Let your plants take a break. They naturally go into hibernation. And even if they remain green, such as your tropicals, instead of feeding the soil when the roots are, you know, taking a break for the year, you can actually, on your tropical plants, you can actually do a foliar feed and get a lot of nutrition into the plant to give them that extra boost come spring. So, again, to answer the question in regards to, you know, avoid over-fertilizing or being wasteful with fertilizer, pretty much take winter off and let the plants enjoy their, hibernation period, and fertilize warming up in spring, peaking in summer when the light hours are maximum and the plant's metabolism is peaking, and then basically scale back by early fall and take that break in winter.
Good advice there on, because some people will just go, well, I'll just fertilize and it says one cup. Let's put two cups to her because that'll make it better. And that actually can damage a lot of things by just being careless and not following instructions.
Absolutely.
Well, you talk about, and you know, there's people in the gardening community, gardening world, says we don't want bugs in the garden. We don't want any pest in the garden. However, you say it is good to have some pest in the garden. Now, explain why that is and why if somebody sees a bad bug, it's not necessarily pull the spray out and kill it right away. What's the reason behind bad bugs and pests being in the garden? Why is that good?
So, again, in all of my education, I see people racing too fast to apply pesticides, whether they be organic or at all costs, avoid the synthetic ones. But the gardeners, the home gardeners, the organic gardeners, they welcome the praying mantis, they welcome the cute ladybugs, but they don't understand or they don't, you know, connect the dots that in the organic garden, you need to have both the predators, which are the praying mantis and ladybugs and spiders, which are considered your beneficial insects, but you also must have the pests, which include the aphids and the scale and the other pests you might find on your roses and on your fruits and vegetables. But the goal is to have a balance and to actually take a look at the plant and examine the overall health and the condition of the, you know, plants that are within your landscape and not to introduce any pesticides, whether they be, you know, or organic or not, again, unless the plant is truly begging for your help. The goal with having, you know, in the organic garden, when you see aphids, the goal is to monitor its populations over a period of time and to see if the predators are, you know, doing their job within the garden. But I would say 9 out of 10 consumers out there race to the garden centers and try to get their hands on some type of pesticide to eliminate the bottom of the food chain, which includes those aphids, instead of allowing them to exist to help support the beneficial insects within the organic garden. So in short, the goal is within an organic garden, you should have a balance of both the pests, even though they're beneficial, as well as the beneficial insects, which are, you know, the prey or the predators within your garden as well.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if you have a balance of the good and the bad, they're not necessarily going to damage or hurt your plants. However, if your plants are not healthy or hydrated or properly fed, they can do damage on your plants.
For sure. And with the organic garden as well, your plants are better equipped to defend themselves naturally from pests such as aphids. For example, with the organic application of fertilizers, you're actually feeding also the soil biology, which includes your beneficial, you know, worms, beneficial bacteria, mycorrhizal fungus. And that whole network helps enrich the soil with these proteins that get absorbed by the plant and create natural defenses to keep pests such as aphids at a minimum within the garden. So part of the organic garden, that whole symbiotic relationship that's occurring in the organic garden is beneficial. And if there's damage, the goal is, again, you're creating an organic garden that's going to be better than any Whole Foods grocery store you would ever visit. The goal is you're creating health and nutrition from your backyard that you otherwise can't buy.
Definitely. Now, in your book, you talk about making free plants. How do you make free plants, and what are some of the lesser known ways of making free plants?
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the most obvious is seeds. And the goal is, like, when you're walking around your neighborhood or you're walking, you know, through nature and you see a plant that you like, eventually the flowers will create seed pods and you can collect those pods and bring those seeds into your property and enjoy free plants that way. The another commonly, you know, and I'd say a lot of the gardeners within the community understand this as well, is if they see a beautiful rose, you can actually take the stems from your beautiful, you know, long stem roses and plant those stems and create, you know, long stem roses. Every February, starting February 1st through the end of the month, for the last 3 to 4 years, we've been giving away fig cuttings. Fig cuttings is something that has been practiced in horticulture, agriculture for thousands of years. And the goal behind it is, if you, you know, have this fig, which starts from a seed that produces a beautiful tasting fruit, a beautiful size, consistent yields, what you'll do to make sure that you continuously enjoy more of exactly the same quality fruit is you'll take a cutting off the plant. But the least understood of making free plants is another practice known as air layering, and the other one being grafting. And grafting is where, again, you'll take something from a proven winner type, you know, fruit tree or rose or whatever that characteristics of the plant is, and then graft it on something that's within the same family or genus of plant species. And you're basically using a particular rootstock to now support more of whatever it is within, you're trying to introduce into your garden, but within a limited footprint. That's the power of grafting. And the example I'll share with you is when it comes to olive trees. Most olives you can actually take a cutting of, and the root. So when it comes to olives, most olives can be rooted easily by way of cutting, and under ideal humidity and soil conditions will root. One exception within the olive family is the Kalamata olive, which don't root as easily by way of cutting, and those are typically grafted. But another way, aside from grafting, that works really easily in regards to making more plants is, again, a gardening concept that I've taught in our book known as air layering.
That's very helpful. Mycorrhizae are vital to plant life. What are they, and why should the home gardener be aware of them?
They're like, I'll just add fertilizer. Because that seems to be the answer of a lot of answers to the average gardener. Yeah.
And it ties in, again, the value of doing this organic, you know, when you basically commit to doing organic, this is another thing that you're committing to. And a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of, you know, the answers and explanations, you know, across the board on different social media fronts, where like, how does a plant know, you know, whether it's organic or synthetic when it comes to fertilizers and this care and whatever it is that I'm doing to the plant? And the goal with whatever you're doing in your organic garden is you're really working at the, you know, at base one, and that is starting with the soil. And with organic gardening, the goal is when you enrich the soil, when you're fertilizing your soil organically, when you're adding mulch into your garden, which is another, great thing that's discussed at length in the book that we published earlier this year. But when it comes to improving soil conditions, the goal is that you're feeding, again, not just the plant, but you're feeding the beneficial organisms within your soil, including the earthworms, the beneficial bacteria, and then the mycorrhiza. What's most misunderstood about mycorrhiza is mycorrhiza are simply mushrooms. And I know that mushrooms we typically see in the garden come, you know, early spring, sometimes late in the fall. But the rest of the year, we don't see them, even though they're always there. And especially if you have like a bed of mulch, a good 2 to 3 inch layer of wood chips throughout the garden, you'll sometimes see some of the hypha or the roots, which are those white, you know, spider-like network that's happening below the wood chips. And what one single mushroom can do in your garden is span these hypha or those roots up to 1,000 feet, networking all of the trees within your landscape, networking all of your plants or lawn or whatever it is that you've got going on in the garden, balancing the water in your property, balancing the nutrients that are within your property among all of the plants. In consideration, the plants offer the mycorrhiza a little bit of the sugars from the, you know, the leaves, photosynthesis, you know, the photosynthesis, as well as the minerals and vitamins that the plants are making, and they offer it to the underground mycorrhiza network that's available. And again, there's another symbiotic relationship that's happening. For those gardeners that are using synthetic products within their garden, those products are, you know, definitely not feeding the soil biology, but it could also be harming the soil biology, especially a lot of the synthetic fertilizers that, you know, end up accumulating salts within the soil. And, you know, and then damaging that whole soil biology and that network that would otherwise naturally exist in the organic garden.
Yeah. A lot of gardeners only think that what they see is all that exists, but there's so much that the eye does not see under the earth that we do tremendous damage to, either not knowledgeably or unknowledgeably. And the damage that we do is sometimes irreversible and, doesn't help, you know, we damage a lot of stuff because we don't know.
One other quick thing I want to plug in with the book, with Saving the World with the Home Garden. And again, the goal is just doing what is right. And the point is, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or you're a bad person. If you, you know, jump off a roof, you're going to hurt your legs and or worse. And the point is, there is rights and wrongs in gardening. And the goal is to just pay a little bit more attention with what you're doing. And ultimately, if you do it the right way, the goal is you're going to be creating something that's going to create health for you and your family. It's also going to be improving the community, and ultimately it's going to be benefiting the planet. And that's basically the theme that runs, you know, through the book with, you know, doing the right thing for yourself as well as our planet.
Well, Charles, before we ask you how we can get a hold of you, you have graciously offered, ivyorganics.com has graciously offered the opportunity for three of our listeners across the country to win a trio box. It's a yellow 3 trio box. Can you explain what's in that trio box? And then I will give them how they can enter to win one of these phenomenal packages that you're offering to our listeners.
Absolutely. So the yellow trio is one of our best sellers and best way for our customers to get a pretty good cross sampling of all of our products that we make available. That includes the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 plant guard protection against damaging sunburn insects and rodents. It also comes with the ready-to-use spray bottle, which is also based off that 3-in-1 plant guard. And last but not least, it's also going to include the Ivy Organics all-purpose fertilizer super blend, which includes a very high percentage NPK and all the macronutrients and some of the micronutrients your plants need. And it's also going to include a signed autographed copy of my book and an overall value of about $100. And again, we're going to make three of these gift boxes available.
Absolutely. Now, how you enter is, number one, you got to be living in the contiguous United States, as well as you send us an email, subject line IV Organics, and then we will you'll be entered to win, have the opportunity to win. The drawing will be Friday, August the 7th, and then you will be notified that day if you are the winner, and we'll get your information. We'll get the prize package sent out to you. Well, Charles, how can we find out more about you? How can we get your book?
So Ivy Organics has a leading garden product YouTube channel. You can find us on YouTube where there's over 300 lessons. You can also visit our website at ivyorganics.com. You can also stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And, you know, I think that's a lot of leads on how you can find us. And the book is available in 8 countries on Amazon. So if you just do an Amazon search on Charles Malky or Saving the World with the Home Garden, you should be able to find us there as well.
Great book. You've put a lot of effort and heart and love into the book, and it does show, and we appreciate you taking time and offering the giveaway and also educating Holly and myself and all of our listeners across the country.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much again for having me today.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You.
You're very welcome. And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions and our garden answers, what time we have left available in the hour. You're listening to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Tree Ripe Citrus Company has top quality produce that comes right to your neighborhood with the freshest peaches and blueberries you'll find. To find locations, go to tree-ripe.com. Do not settle for the rest when you can have the best peaches and blueberries with Tree Ripe Citrus Company. Go to tree-ripe.com.
World's coolest rain gauge.com. Need I say more?
Looking to kill weeds without using dangerous chemicals like glyphosate? An all-natural weed killer may be just what you're looking for. Green Gobbler's Vinegar Weed Killer is a concentrated herbicide derived naturally from corn. It's four times stronger than regular table vinegar, so it packs a punch against all kinds of pesky weeds. Use Green Gobbler's Vinegar Weed Killer to safely kill dandelions, crabgrass, clover, ivy, and more. It's perfect for driveways, pavers, fence lines, and other outdoor surfaces. Green Gobbler Vinegar Weed Killer is an effective and powerful herbicide, but it doesn't stop there. It's also certified for organic use, so when used properly, it won't negatively affect soil or wildlife. Since Green Gobbler's Vinegar Weed Killer is pure vinegar with no other additives, pet owners can let their pets out to play right after application. Search for Green Gobbler Vinegar Weed Killer on Amazon.com today. We offer a hassle-free money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Do not go anywhere. There is more of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show to come, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com.
ShipDrop is a website you can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door. For free, ShipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ShipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account.
Responsible watering, accurate, fast, and efficient. Earth conscious. Visit WaterHoop.com.
When it comes to bulk landscaping materials, Blue Mills Garden and Landscape Center is where everyone goes. Whatever the project, we have the materials you need with over 40 varieties to choose from. Soils, mulches, gravels, decorative stones, fresh cut sod. Blue Mills has these products in stock and ready for easy pickup or fast delivery. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get your yard back into shape. Stop in and pick these materials up or call us for delivery today. Nobody does bulk landscaping materials better than Blue Mills Garden and Landscape Center.
Blue Mills, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. If you got a question, you can submit it. You can send it over. You can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW, toll-free nationwide if you want to drop us a line there. Or if you don't want to call us, you can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Either way, you're going to get connected to us, and we're going to help you with your situation in your garden, on your landscape, on your property. Here are a couple of questions came in. We'll see how many we get through. Here's one, Holly. My cucumber plants do not look healthy. The leaves are yellow, spotty on them, and I've not noticed any pests on the plants. Again, anything I should do? Should I be looking for? What's the cause of the spottiness? Are they going to survive?
Well, that is typically a bacterial or fungal problem. So one fungal problem that cucumbers often get is called anthracnose. I think that's how you say it. It's a fungus, and it's prevalent in wet and warm conditions. It can overwinter in fallen vines, leaves, and other plant debris, and it will release the spores in the springtime to infect new plants. So one thing is that you want to make sure you're trellising your cucumber plants and also spacing them apart properly. And then if you do get this year after year, you want to make sure that when you pull those plants out, you throw them into the trash and not into a compost.
And you can remove up to 25% of the leaves on the plant in order to get rid of those lower leaves. And that's what I would recommend. That's what I did to your sister's cucumber plants, Holly, this past week, was she was developing some of those spottiness on the lower leaves. So I removed those lower leaves and will greatly reduce the impact that it will have on the overall health of the plant. All right. Next one. I have holes being eaten in my bok choy. What is doing this and how can I get it to stop?
So this is caused by the flea beetle. And no, they're not fleas. They only bite the plants. They don't bite people. And so what you can do is you can make a homemade spray for these flea beetles. You take 2 cups of rubbing alcohol, 5 cups of water, and 1 tablespoon of liquid dish soap. So something you want to use a non-detergent soap, so like a liquid dish soap. And then you can test out the mixture on the leaf of the plant, let it sit overnight, and then if you don't notice any adverse effects, then you can spray on the rest of the plants.
Well, that's the key here with any home remedy. Yeah, they do work. However, if you're not doing it correctly, it's like when you paint something, you put it, you know, you do it in the backside where nobody can see it to see if the color blends into the wood, right? Same thing with the plant. You just don't soak the sucker down because you may kill it.
Right. You want to keep that in mind.
You want to kill the bugs, not the plant.
Yeah. And most home remedies that include liquid soap and water are going to be fine, but this one has that rubbing alcohol.
Be cautious instead of upset because the plant's dead. Was that the whole recipe, was it not?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Is there an organic method, to keep cabbage worms off my kale and cabbages other than plucking them off every day by hand? Well, you can apply diatomaceous earth. You can get some food grade diatomaceous earth and sprinkle it on the plants where the cabbage worms are spotted. The diatomaceous earth, or DE is what it's called. It's a powder and it will kill the cabbage worms by piercing their bodies. It's a horrible thing, but that's what you gotta do. You can set up barriers like, at the time of planting, you can put, netting, small netting over the cabbage plants, because if you have too large of holes, it's not the butterflies will fly right in and do their thing. You've not really done anything in helping the procedure here. You can dust the leaves with cornmeal. Another added benefit to cornmeal. You
can set up a moth barrier.
Right.
And they lay eggs a couple times a year. So you can get, it's called a moth netting typically. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a really kind of fine netting. It's very light and flowy. You just put it over the plants, but it prevents those moths from laying their eggs to cause more issues.
So here's the concept of the cornmeal. You can use any type of cornmeal. The premise is the cornmeal, you sprinkle it there, they eat it, they swell up and eventually die. Organic all-purpose flour may also work. So obviously it's much easier to try to utilize some of these home practices rather than going and buying chemicals or even organic products when you may be able to fix it at home on yourself. There's natural sprays in which you can use. You can also introduce beneficial insects in that realm as well when it comes to cabbage worms, cabbage moths, all of those things. But again, you know, be cautious, be smart, don't overapply, follow the recommended rates. And here's the other thing. If you've got XYZ problem and you find a home remedy, check and see if there's other locations on the internet. It's on computers now that you can see that other people or other sources are relaying that same type of information. Because if you get a website and it says use bleach to do this, that may not be the best thing if nobody else in the world has said use bleach to do this. So we want your garden to be healthy and happy and productive, but we also want you to be smart about the applications in which you are applying in your garden. So we are out of time and we appreciate yours. Miss any portion of this show or want to revisit it in its entirety, you can do that by going to our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Season 4 tab at the top of the page. You can also see past shows there as well. You can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com and ask for this show. We'll send you the link, and you can see the in-studio video videos of past shows as well as all other content that we do. Tell your garden friends that we are on the air and on your radio. That's how our message gets heard and how more gardens grow healthier and happier. Join us next week on the program where we'll talk about lessons we've learned in the garden, as well as problems that you're facing in yours, as well as our guest Karen Chaitman will be with us and will answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.